I'm really... I'm not going to say I'm really excited about today. I'm really expectant for what I believe that God is going to do this morning. I mean, we've already experienced just a really cool space and just some really awesome prayer that just happened then. But in terms of what I feel like I have to share, I want to let you guys into a little bit of my process when it comes to preparing messages and just kind of how I do it. And then I'll tell you how this week's been, which is making me feel nervous at this point. Usually, like, I'll start the week and I'll know that I'm preaching on the weekend, and I'll spend, you know, the week preparing, praying, asking God if there's a theme. Obviously, at the moment, we're going through the DNA series, so we've obviously got a theme. And so I didn't know what point that I was going to be talking on this weekend, but come Thursday, I had a fair idea of what I felt like God wanted me to talk about. It really fitted in one of the points. And then usually, like, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I spend time preparing, taking notes, doing study, all that kind of stuff. So Thursday came around, it'd been a normal week, and then God really spoke to me clearly, like really, really clearly, which doesn't always happen, but it happened on Thursday afternoon, and I took some notes, started to write it down, and there were some really strong themes and topics that the Lord was just giving me for today. And so I wrote them down, and I usually don't look at them again until like Friday afternoon or something like that. And Friday afternoon came, and I felt like God said, "Nah, just wait, like you're not ready yet." And then, so yesterday, I was like, sweet, I'm going to prepare, I'm going to spend some time sermon prepping, like I'm going to spend some time doing some things. And every time I went to go and just posture myself in that position of like, hey, God, like, you know, I'm ready, speak, like I'm listening, nothing came, which is super awesome. Just got nothing. And last night I sat down and did the same thing. God. And like intentionally, you know, like I put some really nice background music on. I turned on my diffuser in my room. It smelled really good. Like I was prepared to like sit down and prepare. And just nothing. Nothing. And so I'm running off. So that puts me in a position where this morning I wake up extra early because I'm like, maybe God's going to give me everything this morning that I need. And nothing comes. Which is awesome because I've got some really cool stuff from Thursday. But I don't know what it's going to look like, and I don't know how it's going to flow, which puts me in a position where I get nervous because I like to communicate well. I like to know what I'm going to be saying next. I work really hard at communicating. And so I'm in a position this morning where the message or the notes that I have written in my little journal are incomplete. But God knows the answer. God has the words. And I'm just believing that as I speak, he's going to speak through me and you're going to hear the things that you need to hear. But I just want you to know, like, it's not always easy, nor is it always... It's often quite vulnerable to be communicating and to be preaching. I don't even know why I'm sharing this, but I love... Ever since I was a little child, I always wanted to preach. Like... I remember when Mum's nodding her head in the background vigorously because she's like, yep. Like, I remember when I was about 5 years old, I remember I came up to Mum and I said, Mum, like, I want to be like Jesus when I grow up. She's like, oh, you want to be a builder? Like, that's super awesome. Like, awesome, because I loved Bob the Builder growing up. And I was like, no. Like, I want to be like Jesus when I grow up. And I was like, I want to preach. I want to tell people about the good news. And so for me, preaching and communicating the gospel, communicating kingdom ideas, communicating what's in this book is a lifelong passion and dream of mine. And it's something that I hold very dear to my heart. There are times when I can rest in the gift, and there are times where I can preach and rest out of his spirit. Because I believe God's gifted me to communicate. I believe that he's given me the ability to talk. He definitely has given me the ability to talk. But I believe it's for a reason. And sometimes I can get comfortable in my ability. And I can sit in my ability. And it's good, but it's not God. Well, sometimes it is God, but it's not specifically what he's saying. And I felt like this morning, I feel like there's a reason why God's not given me much. I feel it's because he wants me to rely on his spirit. I feel it's because he wants me to talk off the page. He wants me to talk outside of the things that I've written down. And I feel like that's extremely applicable for what we're going through this morning. Because this morning I'm talking to you guys about one of our core values, one of our DNA points, which is willing to challenge cultural norms. Willing to challenge cultural norms. And you see, for me personally, I've spent the last 23 years. I've probably spent the last, like, specifically the last five, but probably my whole life, I have watched and learnt and created this culture of how I communicate. I've practiced the art of communicating to the point where I've created a culture for myself that I often operate within. And it's not bad, it's good, because I've learned and developed my craft. However, it becomes bad, it becomes a hindrance to me when I choose to sit in the way that Nathan communicates, culture that Nathan's created about his communicating. And I'd sit on that rather than sitting and positioning myself to be used by the Spirit of God to communicate. And when we think about being willing to challenge cultural norms, it's a scary thought. It's scary to be positioning yourself to challenge something that is set in stone. Culture is often something that dictates our actions. Culture is something that sets the bar, it sets the standard of the way things should be done. And that standard isn't always good. Sometimes that standard is incredible. Sometimes that bar is in a really good spot, and sometimes it isn't. But if we want to be a people that are willing to challenge the things in culture that are norms, or the things that are culturally normal, we need to be a people that are led and guided by the Spirit of God. First and foremost, we need to be a people that don't sit in our gifts. Yes, we need to be people that use our gifts, but we can't be people that rely on our gifts, that rely on our passions, that rely on our ability and on our ability to get the job done. We need to be a people that rely solely on the Spirit of God, solely on His voice in every part of our lives. I love what Paul said just before when we were praying for people, because God wants to be in every part of our life. He is willing. He died 2,000 years ago on the cross. Jesus died to save us, to redeem us. But it's our choice to position ourselves to open up to Him. This statement, I'll read it out. We strive to live God's way, surrendered to His authority and purpose. We are motivated by the amazing story of Jesus and determined to live our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is something that when we first started this whole process of unpacking what we feel like represents Catalyst as a body, Catalyst as a church, we landed in a position where we had these seven awesome statements. And we've begun to go through these statements. Matt talked last week about a diverse body being united in purpose. I'm talking today about willing to challenge cultural norms. We sat down and we pulled apart our DNA and we put it into words, along with the navigators. And we came to a point where we were like, okay, these things are so, so awesome, but why do we do the things that we're saying we do? What's our motivation? And we came up with this summary, this statement. Some people would call it a why statement. Some people would call it a mission statement. You can call it what you want. But in essence, this is what we're called to do. This is a shortening of the gospel. This is a shortening of who we are called to be as believers. We strive to live our lives God's way, surrender to his authority and his purpose, motivated by the gospel, the amazing story of Jesus Christ, and determined to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, because when we talk and when we think about culture, and when we talk and think about wanting to challenge culture, a question that instantly comes up is why? Why challenge things that are part of culture? Why do we? Why question the things that have been set in place for year after year after year? Not all culture is bad, and not all culture needs to be challenged. But as I mentioned before, the moment that we begin to rely on culture more than the Spirit of God is the moment where we get it confused. And this statement here, determined to live by the power, our lives by the power of his Holy Spirit. This statement here, it's a gathering point. It's a marshalling point. It's a point where, just like me this morning as I was praying to God about what I was going to say today, I was praying, God, I don't want to speak this morning out of my own words. I don't want to speak this morning out of my own ideas. I want to communicate you. I want to communicate your ideas. I want to communicate your heart this morning. Would you speak through me? Would you speak through me? I was having a chat with Sam last night, and we were talking about culture because I was kind of just sharing with him where I was at in regards to my message this morning. He's been reading this book lately called Culture Making by Andy Crouch. I remembered the author. He's been reading this book called Culture Making by Andy Crouch. And we were just having a conversation about he was giving me an overview of the book. And he made this statement saying people do four things with culture. He said people consume culture. They critique culture. They create culture. And they copy culture. I would agree with that. I think there are, in generalizing culture, there are probably four things that people do. They can consume culture. They can copy culture. They can critique culture, and they can create culture. All four of them aren't bad actions. All four of them are actually things that are sometimes necessary and things that actually can be good. I know I often find myself critiquing and thinking a lot about things that are always happening in the world, like little cultures that are being created, things that are relevant, things that may have existed when I was a teenager versus things that exist now. There's a whole bunch of funny sayings or sentences, or some of them are just words that are part of pop culture now. Words like yeet and words like send it. I actually don't know what some of them mean. Andrew and Jono do though. So I have a chat to them if you want to know. Yeah, they're really hip with the lingo, whatever that means. But isn't it funny that from generation to generation, from different people groups, different ethnic groups, different age brackets, different demographics, that there are so many little things that are just a part of culture. There are so many little things that people just pick up. On the young adults camp, Lisa and I came up for a day, and I don't think I've said send it as much as I said it on that day than I have in my whole life. I came in to young adults, and there's this culture that, this is serious, there's this culture that Jono and Andrew have of being hip with lingo. It's not bad. It's funny. It's cool. I like it. It's unique to them. But they have a culture within their friendship where they're hip with the lingo and they say the lingo. And I came into young adults and we were hanging out at the camp, at the retreat. We were playing cricket, we're hanging out in the backyard, we're talking, having all kinds of conversations. And they're dropping these words. And I'm like, I'm picking up what they're saying. And I'm like, sweet, that sounds cool. It sounds super funny. They're loving it. I'm going to say these words. So I'm yelling out, yeah, just send it. Yeet, all that kind of stuff. And I don't really understand why I'm saying it. I don't understand the context. So out of context. It's not my culture. It's not something that I created. It's something that they have between them. But I came in, and because I'm friends with them, because they have an influence on me, I began to consume what they were saying, and I began to copy it. Do you see how simple little things like that can just come in and you don't even notice it? Some things that are so insignificant, some things that maybe don't matter like as much, like, you know, they're just funny words. Like, if they were saying something bad, then maybe I wouldn't consume and copy it. I would hope I wouldn't. But can you see how culture can sometimes be something that's so unspoken, yet something that so dictates our actions? If you have your Bibles, if you want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're just going to read verses 1 through 5. I'm sure that there are some of you, as you've turned to this, you're like, oh, this is an interesting passage. Yeah, this is a cool passage. I'm going to read it through, and then I'm going to talk about it a little bit, and I'm going to talk about it and come from an angle and a spin that has nothing to do with prophecy in tongues. Just so you know, I'm not about to talk about speaking in tongues or prophecy and that kind of thing, but I want to use this passage to illustrate you something about culture. So it says in verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but he speaks to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a different tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he indeed interprets, that the church may receive edification. That's some super pointed scripture from Paul. The reason why I picked this passage this morning to kind of just read and kind of anchor my sermon isn't because of what it says about tongues and prophecy being greater than tongues. It's because of why Paul wrote it. I want to look at the history. I want to look at the historical context, and I want to illustrate to you guys the reason I believe Paul wrote this passage. So picture the city of Corinth many, many years ago, the city of Corinth. Corinth was an absolute hub back in the day. It was a business hub. It was a trading hub. As a city, it was on the edge of the coastline, and they had two major ports going in and out, and it was one of the major connecting points for some major trade routes throughout the Middle East and the other cities in that time. So Corinth is like a busting, like, busy city. Corinth is also a very immoral city. Corinth as a city, the main religion or the main spiritual kind of like thing over Corinth was actually the Greek goddess Aphrodite. Corinth as a city was incredibly sexually immoral. The most common temple you could find in the city of Corinth was temples full of concubines. People would come to Corinth to do their trade, to do their business, but to also seek pleasure for themselves and to be immoral. They actually had a phrase, like, and this is a Greek phrase, and I'm sorry, Melissa and Joan, I'm not going to say this correctly, but the phrase is Corinthia Zomai. It literally translates to this, to be like a Corinthian. Corinthia Zomai means to be like a Corinthian. This phrase was something that was spoken about the Corinthian people because they partied hard, they were immoral, they were a people that sought edification for themselves. So that's the culture of the city of Corinth. That's the culture that was in that city. And that's a culture that the church of Corinth was planted into. And so when Paul is speaking about prophecy being superior to speaking in tongues, I believe that he is talking about the gifts. But I believe he's actually addressing a deeper root that had come into the Corinthian church. Because tongues is, as he says here, tongues is something, when you speak in tongues, it edifies yourself because it cannot be understood. However, prophecy edifies the body. And so I think Paul is addressing an issue of culture that the Corinthian church has picked up from the culture that is around them, where within the church, they are self-seeking. Within the church, they are looking to put themselves first. Within the church, they are seeking the gratification of themselves rather than the building up of the people around them. The Corinthian church consumed and began to copy the culture of their day. And Paul, a man who is led by the Spirit and the power of God, courageously addresses that. It's so easy to go about our daily lives and to live our lives and to not realize the things that we just begin to pick up. Much like me with going away one day, like I was there for about 12 hours, not even 12 hours, probably like 10 hours. And within 10 hours, I picked up this culture and I'm still saying send it. And I'm still saying yeet, not as much as when I'm with them, but like something that I picked up. I know it's silly, but it's something that I picked up, innocently picked up. It gets me thinking, what are the things that we pick up that we may not even know are things that we're picking up? What cultures do we allow to penetrate and to dictate our lives? I'm not saying that we can't have any of the culture of the world, but when I think about, from my conversation with Sam, when I think about the four things, we consume, we critique, we copy, and we create, I find for myself personally, this is vulnerable for me to say, but I find I do the first three way more than I do number four. I'm happy to copy. It's easy to copy. It's easy to critique, and it's easy to consume, but it's very difficult to create. It costs something to create. It really does. And so when I think about the statement being willing to challenge cultural norms, I think our greatest key is our desire and us positioning ourselves to live by the Spirit of God. Because God, He is our creator. He is the creator. And if we're made in the image of God, if we're made His sons and daughters, if we've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, then we are called to create. We are called to create culture. You know, in John it says we are meant to be in the world but not of the world. And that's a statement that gets thrown around. I mean, it's a biblical verse that gets thrown around by so many people. And I feel like it's almost thrown around to the point where it doesn't actually mean something to people anymore. You know, like we're meant to be in the world but not of the world. We're meant to be in the world but not of the world. What does that actually mean? What does it actually mean to position ourselves in our daily lives, in our jobs? What does it mean for me to position to rock up to my job as a lifeguard, my other job, to rock up to it and to be in that job but not of that job? How do I represent Jesus in that? And it's not always easy to do. Sometimes I almost feel embarrassed before I do it. You know, because that people are talking about going out on the weekends and, you know, what am I doing? And I'm like, well, actually, I'm not going out on Saturday. Like, I don't like going out. Like, I'm not going out on Saturday night. I'm going to be at home because I'm preparing because I'm preaching on Sunday morning at church. Like, I'm going to church on Sunday morning. And they're like, what do you mean you're going to church on Sunday morning? Like, what? Like, you're a Christian? Like, what? Like, that's uncomfortable to be in sometimes. But that was me 2 months ago. But now, in my job where I'm at now, 2 months later, I'm in a position where there are certain people in my work. There's this one guy, and he used to be a Christian, but he's not a Christian anymore. He's not walking with God. But I actually like get to talk to him regularly about Jesus. And he respects me because I was brave enough and bold enough to actually say, like, hey, like, I don't like the culture the world has. Let me tell you about the culture that I have in the kingdom. And he was attracted to it. And now I'm in a position where I'm journeying with him and talking to him whenever I see him at work about how he's doing and how he's feeling and questioning why he does the things he does, because I believe there's a better option for him. I believe that we're in a position in our lives that we're actually called to this, guys, that we are called to present the world with the best option. It's Jesus. It's salvation. That is the culture that we all have inside of us. That is the culture that we all carry. Our lives have been forever changed by the gospel. Our lives have been forever changed by his love, by his mercy, by his grace. And it's actually our responsibility to carry that and to create, to carry that and to show the world. Because the full picture of being in the world but not of the world is not just being in the world and not saying anything about it. We're called to be a people of influence. Like, we are called to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel. I want to, just in closing, I want to leave you with a question. It's an analogy, but I'm going to turn it into a question. I'm going to leave you with a question. Who here has heard about or heard the analogy before of the thermostat versus the thermometer? It's something that, like, a lot of people would be pretty common with. For those who don't know, a thermometer, I mean, everyone would know what a thermometer does. Everyone knows what a thermometer does. It checks and reads the temperature of the room. And a thermostat is something that sets and controls the temperature of the room. If we are going to be a people that are willing to challenge the cultural norms, we have to be a people that, A, are led and empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, first and foremost. We have to be led and driven by that. We have to rely on that. But secondly, if we're going to be a people that challenge culture, if we're going to be a people that question and culture and that create culture, we have to be thermostats. That sounds weird, but we have to be people that are thermostats. We have to be people that are willing to pay the price that it takes to set the temp. It's not always easy. I personally don't always get it right. Like, I'll be the first one to say that, like, so often I am a thermometer. Because it's hard to be a thermostat. It's not impossible, but it's uncomfortable. I'm not going to sell you short. I'm going to tell you it's uncomfortable to be a thermostat. I'm going to tell you it's uncomfortable to stick your head out for the gospel. Sometimes it doesn't go well. There are some times that I get laughed at. Sometimes I get blown off by people. I've gone up to people and I've had people swear at me in the face and tell me that I'm a joke and like it's uncomfortable. But if we look at our model, if we look at the man who showed us the way, he was willing to do that. He was willing to be laughed at. He was willing to be scorned. He was willing to be hung upon a cross. He was willing, and he did. He paid the ultimate price to forever set the temp, to forever say, like, this culture is available to everyone. This is available to everyone. So I want to ask you today, as we're talking about being willing to challenge cultural norms, when we're thinking about the thermometer and the thermostat, what are you? What are you going to be? What are you going to be? Are you going to be a person who consumes and copies the culture? Are you going to be a person who takes a step back, removes yourself from it, and critiques it? Are you going to be a person who chooses to embrace, but also chooses in that moment to create? I want to pray for us this morning. There are a few things that I just felt like, there were a few things as I was praying this morning that I just felt like God said, like, he wanted to just do some business with people this morning. And we've already seen that a little bit, but I really believe that there's a spirit of breakthrough just in the room this morning and an opportunity to get free, but also an opportunity to position yourselves to surrender. And so just as the worship team plays in the background, I want us to pray. I want us to pray for people, pray for each other. But I want to ask people to be brave beforehand. There were two specific things that I really felt like were things that inhibit and can stop us as believers from being people that are willing to be thermostats. Those two things. One was anxiety. I really felt like this morning that God wanted to rid people of anxiety. And it may not be clinically diagnosed anxiety. It may just be anxious thoughts. It may be some fear. But I really felt like there was an opportunity this morning for people to get free from anxiety. That was the first one. The second one was I believe that God wants people to be free from words and things that have been spoken over them that limit you. I know that's very specific. But I feel like God wants to rid people and he wants to set you free from the things in your past that are still holding you back now. They may be words that were spoken. It may be something that was done. But I feel like those two specific things, anxiety and being free from things of the past that are holding you back, are just two things that the Lord just wants to set people free from this morning. And so I'm going to say this because I love saying this and I so believe it's true and I so believe it's right. But I believe that physical obedience, physical response to the Lord brings spiritual release in your lives in a number of different ways. And so I'm going to ask you to be brave. I'm going to ask you with everyone's eyes open to stand up, not right yet, but to stand up if you're one of those people that you're like, I'm just sick and tired of having this. I'm sick and tired of being limited. I'm sick and tired of being in a position where I can't influence, I can't create, I can't be the thermostat. I'm a thermometer and my life dictates to me that I'm a thermometer and I want to be free from that. So on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to stand up if you're one of those two, like if you're in one of those two brackets. Maybe you're not in one of those brackets and you just want to stand up because something's beating on your heart and you know you need to be free from it. You can stand up too. But I specifically felt like those two things. I just wanted to name those two things this morning. So stand up on one, two, three. The moment you stand up is the moment that you actually step out into that freedom. Because it's the moment that you say, like, I'm done with this. I'm done with it being in the shadows. Let me just stand up and tell the world that, hey, like Jesus actually like owns my life. Awesome for standing up, guys. I just want to give like people another couple of seconds because I know it seems scary. I know it seems like, you know, it's a big thing. There's no shame. There's no condemnation in Jesus. There's only freedom. If you're one of those people that just stood up, I just want you to put your hands out, but I want you to face your hands to the ground. And if you're someone around them or you need them, if you want to just stretch out your hands to them, the reason why I got you to put your hands towards the ground is because when we place our hands upwards, we're positioning ourselves to receive, which is an awesome thing and we need to receive. But as you position your hands to the ground, I just felt like it was an act that said, like, God, like, I'm letting go. That you're dropping the things that have been holding you back. You're dropping the fear, you're dropping the anxiety, you're letting go of the things that have dictated your life, you're letting go of the past, and you're choosing to step into freedom. So with your hands facing down, I'm going to pray. Jesus, I just pray that you would come and just touch them right now, that your power would fall upon them. Lord, that you would burn up every infirmity. God, that you would break anxiety right now in Jesus' name. We speak peace to your hearts. We speak peace to your minds. We speak peace to your soul. And we say anxiety has no foothold in your life anymore. Actually, everyone else that's sitting down that didn't stand up, just put your hands facing towards the ground as well. This is a moment for all of us, guys. Like, because there are things that are in my life that even hold me back. Just put your hands towards the ground. And I want you to bring to mind something that you feel like holds you back, something that you feel like keeps you trapped, something that you feel like you just can't break free from. God, together we just say that we let go. We let go. God, we let go and we let you be God. Lord, we let go of the things that culture dictates in our life, the things that have to be the way they are because the world says so. God, we let go of that. Lord, we let go of fear this morning. God, we let go of anxiety this morning. God, we let go of our mindsets, of the words that have been spoken over our lives this morning. God, whatever it is, we just let go. God, we let go. If you're sitting down, if you want to stand up, everyone stand up, everyone stand up. Now I want you to turn your hands over. I want you to face them up. You see, because I believe there's When you let go of things, it just allows more room for God to come in and consume. And so God, we come before you. Father, we come before you. And Lord, we ask that you, Lord, that you would give us not what we want, but what we need. God, that you would speak to our hearts. You would speak to our minds. You would speak to our being. Lord, that you would lead and guide us this morning, today, tomorrow, the rest of the week, the rest of our lives. God, we choose this morning. We make the conscious choice. Everyone repeat after me. I choose. Say it again. I choose. God, I choose you. Lord, I choose you. Hey, God, we choose you this morning. We choose your ways. God, we choose your culture. God, we choose your spirit. God, we choose your son. We choose your ways, God. We choose your spirit. We choose your culture this morning.